the What I Watch Tonight show.
Good morning, afternoon or evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to the What I Watch Tonight show. My name is still Matt Hudson, and I am the Bond, James Bond, behind the site whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. In these episodes, I chat with a guest who specialises in or just loves movies. It's simple as that. We have a chat, chuck some questions at them, and just talk some movies, because otherwise this movie podcast would be rubbish. So, joining me on the show tonight is someone who is possibly mad. They certainly like movies, and I have it on good authority that she is called Meg. It's Mad Movie Meg, Megan Williams. How the Meg are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. That was an introduction with the word Megan as much as possible. Hope you don't mind.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. Yeah, that happens most of the time because that's like the only thing I give out like about my personal life. So it's just, oh, hi, Meg. How you doing, Meg?
All the time. Nice. Well, I'll try not to call you Meg in every sentence I say, Meg, if that's all right, Meg.
No, it's fine. Go for it.
I'll try not to mention that film that came out this summer called The Meg Williams either. I won't mention it.
Oh, my God. You can't believe. You wouldn't actually believe the amount of messages that I had about that.
I can only imagine, which is I'm going to try not to dive down that route unless you bring it up yourself. First question is, you have a British accent, which is always great to my ears. Whereabouts are you calling from?
Dartford. So
nice! That's about 20 minutes away.
Hey, I didn't know
I'm
that.
I'm calling from Brentwood.
Oh, my mum does a lot of work there.
Well, hello, Mother Williams. Maybe I've bumped into you.
You might. She looks a lot like me. So if you saw her, you probably would. You might actually realise that it was her.
Right, well, I'm going to go searching Brentwood now in the nicest way possible for your mother. Oh, that's a small world. So in Dartford then, what do you do during your days in Dartford?
Well, at the moment, I'm not really doing very much because I've just like finished school. So I'm just almost about to start a new job.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you, and just see what goes from there. I don't really have any sort of clear goals or anything with what I want to do, so it's just trying things out and just having fun.
Best way to be, especially when you're young still. So, new job, are you allowed to talk about it?
Yeah. I'm not in the MI5 or anything, so I can talk about it, yeah.
What are you doing?
So, it's like at a restaurant, nice. So I'm going to, because I'm full-time, they're going to train me to do all sorts of things, so in the kitchen and out of the front with waitressing and stuff, so I've never really done anything like that, so I thought it'd be a good bit of experience to get, even if it's something I don't want to do forever.
No, it pays the bills and it's always good to get out there. I remember my first job was sitting on a till for 4 hours a day when I was 15 in Safeway, or which is now Morrison's. And I didn't want to do it, but no. I met so many different people, old people, young people, blah blah, and I suddenly stopped being this shy little boy and started talking to people. It's amazing. Yeah.
Especially at the weekends and stuff when it's just pure chaos and you've just got to get on with it.
Yeah, there's that side of it as well. The week, your Saturday nights are going to be mad.
Yeah, that is something I've got to prepare for because it's in like a busy shopping centre as well. But before this, I worked in Primark, so I think I've got I've already like immune to the chaos. I think I can deal with it.
If you can deal with Primarni on a Saturday afternoon, I'm guessing is it in Dartford or is it Bluewater or?
Yeah, it's in Blue Water.
Wow, if you could deal with the Blue Water Primark, hats off to you.
Oh, yeah.
For those who don't know, Blue Water is, I think it's like the second largest shopping mall in Europe, I think. Or it certainly was the biggest one until recently. It's massive. And it's just besieged every day, but especially the weekend, just by rampant homicidal shoppers. And at Christmas, it's going to be mental. And it's Fruita Park, which is over here, is a novelty.
So, it is bizarre.
Wow, bloody hell. You are made of something sterner than me.
It's going to be a challenge, but I'm ready for that. So it's got to embrace it.
If anybody wants a nice meal, go to Meg's restaurant and I'm sure she'll give you some great service and a decent meal.
Oh, yeah.
Just tip her. If you're allowed to have tips, that is. But
I hope so.
I'd be better do. So aside from watching movies, you are, let's face it, you're quite the artist and cosplayer. So why cosplay, firstly?
It's always something that I've loved ever since I was really, really tiny, like dressing up as characters and stuff. I don't know. I guess it's like I could give the generic answer, like escapism and stuff. But I think it there really is like an element of that about coming out of yourself and being something else,
yeah.
You know? And it's like there's a lot of confidence to be found in that. Like certainly when I went to London Film and Comic Con this year as Ray, I felt like much more confident than I would have been just going as myself. So I think really is a thing for anyone to do. I think there's a lot to get out of it.
Yeah, and I guess when you're around like-minded people in Comic Con, because I went to Star Wars Celebration when it was in London last, and of course, I got on the train from where I live here, and there were people dressed up as like Qui-Gon Jinn on the train. I thought this wouldn't happen any other day, but some of them looked a bit wary, being on the train in Essex. And then, but as soon as they got off at the O2, they just became a different person when they were around. Like, it was brilliant. Yeah. It was incredible to see.
Yeah,
and I've got to say as well, your Rey, Daisy Ridley, looks a lot like Daisy Ridley. Did anyone actually think you were her?
Yeah, funny thing is that did actually happen on the day. Anyone that I think that's been to London Film and Comic Con knows there's like a little Sainsbury's near it.
Yep.
And before we went in the Sainsbury's to get like some drinks and stuff just to take with us. And there was a guy that was following me about like nervously for a while as we were walking around in this Sainsbury's. Thought, oh, this poor guy is getting excited and he's about to be disappointed when he finds out that I'm not Daisy.
You really could have just played that up and to be like, yeah, I'm Daisy, have a picture.
I know.
Have an autograph. Oh. Don't sell it. Please, don't sell it. Oh, it's also, is that your favourite cosplay or what would you, is that your most popular or do you have any others that you particularly enjoy?
Well, the other ones that I had done or the ones that I have done like a long time ago, most of them I hadn't really done much with other than just sort of pictures or videos and stuff for online. So my Ray one was actually the first one I took out like into the public.
I think it looks incredible. Did you have any influences within cosplay or was it just, do you just basically obviously sit there, plan it out and design it yourself or is there anybody else you see and think, I like what you do?
It's hard to say if there was anyone in particular in terms of like my specific Ray cosplay because there's so many amazing accounts on Instagram, but I know for like on YouTube and stuff, I don't know if you've ever seen Cosplay Chris.
I have heard of Cosplay Chris, yes.
Yeah, so he does a lot of figure stuff and he does a lot of cosplay, especially like DC stuff, and I had watched his stuff for a while, so I think he was probably one of the main people that inspires me in cosplay.
Shout out to Cosplay Chris if you're listening. Salute to you. We do.
I mean, I don't think he's listening, but if he is, thank you.
Yeah, well, if he's not, I'm going to hit him up and make sure he listens to this so he makes sure he knows. But oh, that's awesome. So do you have any, you say you haven't got any plans for the future in terms of like career and jobs and blah, blah. Mm. But in terms of cosplay, anything like that, you just want to keep doing it or do you want to get bigger, if you will, in the future?
I've got some ideas. You know, there's like legions and stuff for Star Wars cosplayers and things. I had considered potentially joining like a local one for my Ray because, you know, they do a lot of charity stuff.
Of course, yeah.
And go to events. And hospitals, I thought that might be a good way to use it. So that is definitely something I've considered for like the future of the Ray cosplay, at least.
There's something about seeing cosplayers who go into the children's hospitals, especially, and seeing the joy that those kids have when they see Finn, Rey, Darth Vader, Han Solo. Yeah. It makes me feel extremely happy about life. It makes me feel good. So if you can contribute that in any way, then good on you. But I also mentioned art as well. You've got your own Instagram channel, which we're going to plug later on. But again, why art? It sounds like a generic question, but I can't draw for toffee. So what made you get... When did you decide... Or realise, hold on, I can draw. And what made you want to sort of carry it on?
It's, again, just as I said about cosplay, it's just one of those things that I've done ever since I was able to hold a pen in my hand. And I've just, like, never let go of them since, you know what I mean? Oh. Just especially when I was really small, things like Doctor Who and stuff, all these sort of aliens and monsters and things, they were what really drove me to draw and to dress up and to make things. So even when I was tiny, I think films and TV were what actually got me into art and stuff.
And film has that effect on so many people in different ways. Yeah, and for you it's art and cosplay. I mean, I used to draw when I was little and when I was 5 years old, and I still draw like I'm 5 years old, so that never really left me either, to be honest. But the drawings you do are brilliant. Again, we'll plug those channels later on, so guys, check it out. But you mentioned movies, and this is what we do on this show. The website and me, we talk film. So let's jump into it. Film, film, film. First off, what movie has left the biggest impression on you? For whatever reason, it could be good, sad, could be good, it could be funny. You know, what movie really left an imprint on you?
This is such a hard question to be able to nail down to one thing.
It's tough. That's why I'm glad I don't have to answer them.
Oh, it's not fair. You could get put through this as well. I think it's probably quite an obvious answer, but I think I'd have to go with the original Halloween from 1978.
Okay. Nice. I know you've seen the new one, but 1978, what is it about that one? Because I saw that quite recently. I've rewatched it quite recently as well.
It's everything. There's so many things about it to love. I love what it is, why it is, like the work that went in behind it, especially films like that where they were never intended to be as big and as popular as they are, and then they just turn up into these giant things. The people involved, the music, the way I just, I'm sounding like I guess I sound like the fan I am, but just like how the mask was thrown together, how it wasn't actually filmed in autumn, so they had to throw leaves out every time they were shooting.
They had to paint them, just didn't they?
Yeah, they had to paint it brown. Like, it's just so many things that the more you get into it, the more you just get attached to it. And so, it, as one of, like, when I was getting into horror and film, it was one of the first ones I watched. And I think it just, it aided my downward spiral into, if you could call it downward spiral, into
madness.
Just, yeah. So it's special in terms of getting me into horror and stuff, like, as a passion, as opposed to just casually watching them every now and again.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with gushing about a film you like. I've got a few which I could sit here now and turn into a doughy-eyed five-year-old boy about.
Yeah.
Gushing about, this bit and then this bit and then this happens. But in terms of Halloween, yeah, I mean, it was made for next to nothing, and it made so much money.
I know. I think it was like 300,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
That was made for.
And it was, I think it was the most successful indie film of all time until Valerian. Ugh. But I love them. I love the DIY approach is what I love about those kind of old school films, where it just looked like
it was all
cobbled together, and they all bought their own wardrobes to wear.
Yeah, yeah.
And the mask was William Shatner's mask.
Yeah.
But I rewatched it recently for another show, but also because I knew that the 2018 Halloween was coming out, just so I could firstly remind myself what happened and to see what the connective tissue is like. So what did you think? It's a $10 million question. The new Halloween, the sequel, firstly, did you like it?
I did. I did like it. I was pleasantly surprised, to be honest. I think after the big flop of like the Predator and stuff like that, I was thinking, oh no, what if I'm disappointed and I've been waiting for so long? But no, I was really happy with it.
Yeah, I went to watch it the night it came out, and I too was a bit worried because I thought, what happens if it is actually just rubbish? What if it's really bad? But I really enjoyed it. I think I gave it a fairly decent review as well, but I like the fact that they made Michael Myers just like pant-wettingly scary again.
Yeah, I think we all need that, especially when you look back on the old ones, especially things like in Halloween 4, and he just looks so ridiculous. That the mask is hilarious. You can't be scared by it.
No.
So it's good that they put that punch back in.
Yeah, everybody needs to see Michael Myers just caving people's skull in, you know, throwing teeth at people.
Stamp on them.
That was a right throw. That was brutal, that was. By the way, spoilers for the Halloween 2018. If you haven't seen it,
sorry.
That's all right. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it and come back and listen to us talk about it, because I know some people don't like it or agree with it, but hell, I like talking about films. I don't really want to be restrained. So
no.
In terms of that film, he does cave somebody's skull in.
Yep.
There was a bit in it which I got slightly worried about, is when he's run over, when Michael Myers was hit by the car.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And the crazy doctor comes out and starts like rubbing his face and that, and I'm thinking, oh, can't
yeah,
get a room, dude.
Here, yeah.
Yeah, and then he puts his mask on, and I thought, please, 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 don't say this guy is now going to be the villain. And thankfully, no. He wasn't.
Yeah, that, I think that was the part that most people have had the problem with, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, really? Good. It's not just me.
Yeah.
Then.
No, it isn't just. Well, I had the same feeling, so I think everyone can unite over the fact that that was questionable. But
the least scary villain of all time. He's just shoved
like
someone else's
short,
mask
short, little chubby old man in this mask.
I'm confident that even I could probably take him down. And I'm hardly any different. I'm just not old, that's for sure. But
yeah.
No, I liked it. Did you... I know it's been called out for having quite a few callbacks to the original. And I know in this day and age of nostalgia, remakes, sequels, there's always callbacks. Were there too many for you, do you think? Or not?
No, and I thought like there were a lot of them that were that weren't too in your face. Like, there were the few that where you looked at it and you thought, oh, okay. And then there are some of them that were more in the background. So I thought that was okay. I think it's to be expected when it's like a franchise that's so beloved, isn't it?
Yeah, even those like, bad films in the franchise.
Yeah,
people look at them with a sort of rose tinted glass, the same as a Nightmare on Elm Street. When you've got Freddy Krueger on a fucking skateboard and all that other stuff he does, you start thinking this is rubbish. But there's something endearing about it. Not at the time when I first saw them, when I was sort of 16 and all serious about films. I need to be.
No.
Everything's got to be serious. Why is Freddie Mercury? Jesus, why is Freddy Krueger at his pool party with sunglasses on? But you kind of look back at them now and think, oh, it's quite sweet, really.
Yeah, you can't help but love it when it's a bit rubbish.
Yeah, and some of them are a bit poo. But and the real burning question is, how awesome was Jamie Lee Curtis?
Oh, she was great. She was everything you could have asked for, wasn't she? Really?
Yeah, she could have made that character really like hammy and really over the top with how she presented her. The grief and the trauma and the paranoia, she could have really made it a bit embarrassing, but she did so well with it, and it was a believable storyline for her and the character. I thought
like, despite how like ridiculous it is when you take a step back and think of the story, she did do a really like, I think, realistic, believable portrayal of that.
Yeah, and I like the fact that there was a couple of podcasters in there as well, so big up to them. They didn't last very long, and they did get absolutely destroyed, but, you know.
Yeah,
we
just
glossed
over that.
If it was me, I would just be honest, they didn't have a chance to run. I'd like to say, if that was me, I would be hightailing out of there, but they didn't have a chance, man.
No.
Is that the last film you saw, Halloween 2018?
Not in the cinema, no. So, I'm not sure when it was. A couple of days ago, I saw First Man, I know. It's taken me that long.
No. Interesting. What did you think of it? Because
I really enjoyed it.
Really,
really did. Yeah, and I don't know. I don't really know what I expected, but I liked that it was actually, for the most part, it was more of a drama than anything. Yeah. I think. I did cry a little bit, you know. So yeah, I did like it.
It always helps when they can get you by the heart. Can I, again, spoilers for First Man. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. Come back and watch the show, even though everybody knows what happens at the end. Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. What part did you bawl at?
It was when he put the Karen's bracelet on the moon.
Yeah, oh, man.
Because, I mean, her death
then.
And everything was sad, but then there was that bit.
Yeah, her death was sad, you know, but then we got this.
Yeah, you know, oh, no, it's just... Oh, I don't know. It's just you to think that just the how much trauma you don't realize how much trauma those like astronauts went through to get to that point. Like just any of them. Like some of them actually died. The ones that didn't die, seeing everyone die around them, it was like it was a lot.
Yeah, it was the way they handled that the Apollo mission where they all just. Were incinerated within that was brutal, and I liked that about it, how they didn't focus an awful lot on making it dramatic like an Apollo 13 type film, which is awesome, but they focused obviously on Neil Armstrong and his, well, it's more about the family and is it Janet, his wife, Claire Foy's character,
she
was brilliant, but I liked how they focused on that, and that scene at the end when he drops he purposely gives the bracelet to the moon, if you will, was
yeah,
it was very emotional, and that's the bit which I've spoken to my good friend John, and he wasn't overly sold on that part of the film, whereas I was. I thought it was a beautiful moment, and the music, just the tenderness of that moment, I really it sold it for me.
Did you not shed a little tear? Was there one on the brink of coming out?
On the brink. On the brink. Again, I said it before, I am no tough guy. I'm the biggest lettuce going, but I very rarely cry at films. I don't know why. If anything, it's the music in the films that gets me more than what's going on screen. I don't know why. I do a podcast about films, so I clearly get into them, but that almost did. Anything to do with children, it gets me every time almost.
Yeah.
But that did. As for the film, I thought it was good. I don't know what it was missing something for me, but when it was brilliant, it was awesome.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you enjoyed it.
I did, and I also enjoyed I like looking at Ryan Gosling, to be honest.
Anyone does. Doesn't matter who you are.
No, I keep looking and thinking, if I look close enough, like, you know, they say if you hold your face in the wind for too long, it will change into that. I think if I stare at him long enough, will I become him?
It is a nice thought.
Hasn't happened yet, but if I could just have his chin and stubble, I'll be happy. But enough of my sleazing over Ryan Gosling. I do like him. So this is another question I like asking, because it's not quite a what's your favourite film of all time, which I don't like that question. It's a bit naff.
Mm.
This one's a bit tougher and it winds people up. So if you could save just one movie, if all of the movies in history were burnt to a crisp, they're gone, they've been erased like by a snap of Thanos' finger, what movie are you saving and why?
Oh no! God. I'd need like a few months to think about that. Jeez.
This is too many.
Yeah. You just have to try and think about what are the ones that like you couldn't live without. What is that one film?
Exactly. Is it one that makes you laugh? Is it one that makes you cry, which you for some reason always want to feel? Is it one that makes you happy? Is it one that makes you want to, I don't know, fight things?
I think if I had to save one film, I'm thinking, I think I'd have to go with Return of the Jedi, purely because I couldn't stand the thought of living on a planet where all of the Star Wars films have disappeared.
I am absolutely in awe of that answer, because I couldn't do that either. I thought it's because you disliked the Ewoks.
No, it's that Return of the Jedi. I love the ending and everything. As much as everyone is like, oh, the ghosts and everything because they look funny. I don't know. I just think it's a nice way, nice little happy way to end such a great series. So yeah, I think if I had to save a film, it would definitely be that.
I love Star Wars anyway, but I love the moment in the end of Return of the Jedi where they're on Endor, the Death Star 2 has been blown up, Darth Vader has died, the Emperor's been burnt to a crisp, and then you get the scene of Lando and Han just dancing on Endor, and everyone's just having like a little party. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah. I'm going to siege into Star Wars just quickly. Out of those original trilogies, so obviously a new sort of Star Wars as it's known, Empire and Jedi. What's your rankings for those three films? I am putting you on the spot for the original trilogy rankings. What's the best, then what's the second, and what's the third?
I think I'd have to go in like reverse. So whenever I say this to anyone, they don't understand, but I would probably go Return of the Jedi. It's my favourite, then Empire, and then A New Hope.
Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I think I put Empire top, but then I struggle because going into that, Rogue One is on the same level for me.
I'm glad you love that. I do adore Rogue One, and whenever I hear anyone saying anything good about Rogue One, I just love it, because there are so many people who were really upset by like both Solo and Rogue One. So
Rogue One, I watched again the other day. It's the one that's the one film out of all, what, nine now, unless you include the Clone Wars 10 films, that I just sit down and watch it. But even if I'm not watching it, I have it on in the background, because I don't know, it's just it's a brilliant film. I love the score as well. That gets a lot of flack, but Giacchino's score is wonderful. I go onto YouTube once a week. I search Rogue One, Darth Vader, and I watch his killing spree at the end.
Oh yeah, definitely. Honestly. Oh, I remember in the cinema. I don't know. I had a smile that went from ear to ear watching that.
I had a guy next to me, I've told this story before, but he's about 70, and I was getting excited. I was thinking, oh my God, literally like jumping around in my chair with excitement. Yeah. The guy next to me is about 70, and his wife was having to like restrain him. He was obviously, he'd obviously been there in the 70s to watch the original and seen it grow. He was literally, his wife was having to hold his arms down because he was trying not to basically cheer and just throw his arms up in just ecstasy. And his wife was having to hold him down. It was the best thing I've ever seen.
I'd love to have seen that. I love the fact that people are just as into it as we are. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. He'd obviously been waiting, what, 40 odd years for that moment. Oof. But even before that, I love it.
She shouldn't have restrained him. She should have let him have his moment. He's waited long enough for it, hasn't he?
I can only hope he went home and just let all that excitement out. Yeah. In one way, shape or form, he let it all out. If not, his wife has got a lot to answer for. But yeah, Rogue One is... That's my... Oh, God. It's up there with Empire. But I think, yeah, Empire... I don't know. Then I might put A New Hope and then Jedi. I don't know. I struggle with those. And then you've got the issue of the prequels and you've got the issue of the sequels.
Yeah.
Oh, God, where does everything go? So I'll get onto those later because... let's get to it now because I like Star Wars. Let's do the prequels. Did you like the prequels?
Yes.
It's a top-level question because a lot of time you say that to people and they spit at you.
A lot of time the answer is big fat no. Huh.
I just always, it's nice to know, speak to somebody who did like them because I do enjoy them. I see their flaws from a mile off. Dear Christ, you can't not.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, it's one of those things like we were saying earlier about how something's a bit rubbish, but it's like endearing when it's bad. It makes you like it because you can go, wow, that is questionable, but I'm enjoying this anyway.
Yeah, I'm reveling in its naffness. But some of the CGI is bad. Hayden Christensen gets a lot of flack, but he said he can only do what he's told to do. You know what I mean? He was a kid, and George Lucas was telling him what to do.
Yeah.
You do what George Lucas says.
Yeah.
And if he says act wooden, you act wooden. But I like the pre. And what about the news? The sequel was sequel trilogy, as it's called. Even though we only have two of the films, are you digging that at the minute? Or well, obviously you're cosplaying as Rey, but
No, I hate it. Yeah, I do really love them. I'm one of those people that loves all Star Wars films. I don't know if I've got a bias and I just can't help myself, but I do. I genuinely haven't got I think there are a lot of people that like. Violently dislike some of them, but I genuinely love all of them.
We're gonna get on just fine, you and me are, I think. I've got no, and just for the disclaimer, if you don't like things, good, that's great. Please say it in a nice way though.
But,
everybody's allowed to dislike and like things as well. So horror, you are, just by looking at your social media, obviously I follow you on there, it's clear that you are a massive horror fan. So you've mentioned Halloween. What are your other? Do you have any other ones that spring to mind that are your? If somebody said to you, "Look, I really want to watch a couple of horror films tonight. I'm in the mood." What are you going to give them? What are you going to tell them?
Ooh,
not Halloween.
The Evil Dead trilogy.
Ooh.
I just all three of them. You got to have all three.
That's a good shout.
The Thing.
We're going classics.
Reanimator.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know, I'm just trying to think of the ones that are like, you just a lot of fun.
Some films about people getting killed.
Yeah, I know. I describe them a lot like that. I think, I don't know if I sound a bit odd describing them like that.
You are Mad Movie Meg after all. I haven't seen Reanimator for God knows how long.
It's great. Yeah. The scene where Herbert reanimates the dead cat. Oh my God, it's just hilarious. Because you know it's just like a plush cat. So he's got to hold it on his face like it's attacking him. So he's throwing himself around the room whilst holding this quite clearly fake cat to his face. It's the best scene in the whole film.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Don't knock those mid-80s special effects, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Don't drag you in. They're the Evil Dead trilogy and Reanimator. Anymore, because as a horror film buff, I like hearing what other horror film fans like.
Ooh,
so far you've gone for those sort of, I say classic, you said a thing as well, you've gone back to the 80s here, so is that I'm guessing that's your jive.
I mean, that is I don't know, there's something about the old style effects that that always gets me. I love it. I'm trying to think of, like, what are the any sort of modern ones that I've...
Is there any you've seen this year that are any good? Because I think this year's been a bit up and down for horror films.
Yeah. I liked A Quiet Place. And then there was... What was there? Truth or Dare? Oh, my.
Winchester.
Oh.
Slender Man.
Oh.
Sorry for doing this to you, but yeah. Hereditary.
I haven't actually seen that yet.
Check that one out.
Yeah, I know. I think that's the problem as well. I usually wait a long time before seeing things.
Let everybody else see it first, and then you can go in. Yeah, when the hype's died down.
Yeah.
I saw Hereditary when it came out again, opening night, because I'm a bit of a nerd like that. But also because I'd heard so many people say, as is now like the cool thing to say, this is the scariest film of all time. Yeah. You literally shit yourself watching this. Bring another pair of pants, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've got to see this. I've got to see this. I want to come out of the cinema a wreck. And I also didn't want it to get spoiled for me, because you know what the internet's like. Yeah, people are quite happy to chuck a spoiler out.
But,
So I won't say anything that happens in it, but... Check it out. I'd say now that the hype's died down a bit, it's available. Yeah. Check it out. I'd be interested to see what you thought about it.
Were you scared? Were you a mess?
No, I wasn't. But part of that was because the screening I saw it in, this is the problem I have with cinemas nowadays. It's really putting me off going to cinema. But the theatre or the auditorium, whatever you want to call it, I was in, was the people I was with, but the people in the cinema, awful. There were people talking. There were people shouting at the screen, and this is happening in a lot of people's screens.
Yeah.
Audibly commentating on certain aspects of the film, especially towards the end.
Yeah.
Which I'm thinking, fuck. I just want to sit down and enjoy, whether you like it or not, shut up, because I want to watch it. And it took me out of that most important part of the film. So I need to rewatch it and see, you know, what it does to me or if it was. But there were, it's certainly very creepy, and it has its moments as well. So, which is why, if you can go in knowing nothing about it or as little as possible, do that, because it works so much better. But even recently, I've been to the cinema, and every screening I go to has got idiots either on their phone or talking. Yeah,
no, absolutely. I've had pretty much the same bad luck recently with every film I've been to. When I went to see Halloween, there was a guy that was very drunk sat behind us, and he thought everything was hilarious the whole way through. So that was good. I don't think anything will compare to when I went and see Infinity War. It was by far the worst screening. Worst, not the worst film I've seen, but I mean like the worst screening I've ever been to in terms of the fact that there was a group. I don't know how many kids there were. There was basically just a giant pack of kids.
A pack.
Yeah, there was a big
snarling, dribbling pack of kids.
Yeah, sat behind us. Haven't got a problem with that, but it was non-stop. And then because one of them was making noise, then the other ones were having a go at the one for making noise, but in doing so, they're making more noise. So just the whole way through, it was them all arguing with each other. And then this one main kid who, I don't know, they brought him along. And he knew absolutely nothing about what was going on. So he was asking what was happening.
Who's that guy?
The entire time.
What's he purple?
Which is a fair one, because there are a lot of films to watch before Infinity War. So I can understand if he's confused, but...
Would you not try and fill him in beforehand?
I didn't understand it.
Yeah, this is Iron Man. This is Thor. This is Thanos. This is blah, blah.
No,
just watch the film, but...
That was genuinely what it was like.
That's really interesting, because that's one of the best experiences I've had in a cinema with Infinity War, because, again, I've just mentioned I'm a prude. I like to sit in a film, lit a cinema, or at home in silence. I want to watch a film. I want to wash over me and I want to get absorbed. Whereas in Infinity War, it worked. The opposite worked for me. At the moments where, for example, when Captain America was introduced in the film, people were going mental. People were cheering and clapping. And usually I'd think... Calm down. I'm English, so I'm going to tut and sort of shake my head. And then obviously the fight scenes, and with some of the things that happen, like when Tony gets stabbed by Thanos, people were screaming, no! And obviously the end with the dustings and all that. People were going mental when what happened with Gamora. And I thought, this actually made it a better experience. Now, again, I haven't watched the film again without that perspective, but that really, really heightened the experience for me, just having all these other people just around me who are... obviously, like, you know, really deep into these films, they were just eating all of it up, and it was amazing. Mm.
Yeah. It's nice to know that you've got like-minded people in there, you know, loving it and enjoying it.
Yeah, whereas when I watched The Force Awakens, there was a bloke next to me. He was kind of a throwback to the nerds. His clothes had sort of like mothballs in it, and he I won't go further than that, but he looked like he just crawled out of 1999. And he was talking that he was very, very unhappy during moments of The Force Awakens, and especially at the end when Luke Skywalker turned around, that brilliant moment when he takes his hood off and just looks badass. And then doesn't say anything. He was sitting there going, "No!" He shouted and then just walked off. So yeah,
you just shouldn't go to the cinema.
don't leave your room. Stay
no.
But on that, I'm all for people getting into it. But just enjoy this. But don't ruin it. Remember what it says at the beginning of the film: enjoy the attraction, don't be a distraction. Let other people watch the film. So, but it's a shame about Infinity War that it was a naff experience. The audience, anyway.
It has left an impression on me.
Yeah, so I suppose, that should be the next question. What theatre screening has left the impression? Do you find that recently, though, going to the cinema, it just seems to be... people are just... I guess audiences aren't quite as respectful as they maybe once were. Does that make me sound old?
No.
Good.
I don't know. Yeah, I completely feel you on that. There's just like, where do you start from there? There's always a thing about people sitting in the wrong seats, and then people come in and go, "You're in my seat," and then they go, "Oh, I don't care." And there's arguments going on about that. The way people like throw all their stuff everywhere. This is making me sound like a gran, but
no, I'll join in.
Just when the lights come up at the end and you just see it everywhere, and it's like, Jesus Christ,
someone's got to clean that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I never remembered it as bad as it is now, as well with like phones and stuff. Just it has got worse over time, I think.
If you can't go 2 hours without looking at your phone, you need to check yourself, because that's really bad. And
yeah,
obviously with your social media and the stuff that you do, you're going to be on your phone quite a lot. With what I do with the reviews and the pods and just getting the, I'm on my phone quite a lot, but when I'm in and watching a film, even at home, I just put my phone down because I have a life. I'm not attached to my phone. And I see people taking pictures during the film, and I'm thinking, are you taking a picture of each other or the screen?
Yeah.
I think it's the point, you can't see anyway. And then I had somebody come into my screen of Halloween, there was someone talking during that as well, and they came like 45 minutes late, and you think, well, you're halfway through the bloody film.
I had the same problem. There were people coming in continuously throughout the whole film. Yeah. Like people coming in and getting seated. Not like they've gone for a wee or anything, they just have just arrived. I don't understand that.
Other bodily movements are available, but yeah, it's funny because in my screening, I would give people the benefit of the doubt slightly because it was meant to start at 8 o'clock, which it did, but there were no advertisements. It went straight in with the trailers for 5 minutes, and then the film started. So if you got there thinking, oh, it's not going to start till 20 past because of the adverts, whatever, fine. But yeah, people turned like 45 minutes late into the film. And think, what's the point? You don't know anything that's happened before.
No.
And little things like that. Why am I saying, if anyone from any cinema in the UK is listening, get your manager to sort it out, because something needs to be done, because so many people are getting pissed off about the lack of governance in screens. That's my rant for the night. But really, you're paying your money, so...
It's not cheap either.
It's not. Unless you have those unlimited cards, or I've got a couple of cinemas near me in Romford. One of them is, it's £4. Great, I go and watch a film for £4. It's a cinema. It's an independent cinema, so it's just as good as an Odeon, for example, but it's £4. Great, I go and watch that. But still, it's annoying people there. And I don't mind Romford, but some people going to watch those films annoy me. But yeah, so modern, was Halloween approaching now? Halloween is coming. You rocked up as Pennywise the other night and rocked my socks. It looked bloody awesome.
Oh, thank you.
What was the... just for fun?
Yeah. I think people had the idea that I was going to some sort of party or anything. No, I just wanted to do it. I was out. It's cool. Halloween, and there was stuff, and in the shop, and I thought, I've been wanting to have a go with makeup for a while, so I just bought some and went for it. That was that was it, really.
Awesome. And, it, and I'm not just saying that to blow smoke. I say that a lot, but it really did look very good.
Thank you.
And that was your first attempt, I believe.
Yeah. Halfway through doing it, I was sort of looking like Heath Ledger, Joker. And I was thinking, where is this going? Am I actually going to be able to make this look like anything? But thankfully, it pulled itself together at the end, a little bit of fake blood and stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad it's fake and not just like harvested from somebody else. it looked very good. So Pennywise the Clown, I'm speaking, the dancing clown. Well, yeah. Did you like that version of it? I got to ask.
Yeah, I did a lot. I liked the new look for Pennywise. I thought all the kids were really great. I haven't got any gripes at all.
No, I was looking forward to that film for so long. Yeah. Because I read the book when I was probably far too young to read that book. Because my mum always, actually still does, she has all the Stephen King books. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to read that when I was like 11. Oh, Jesus. And then, the old TV film, which is now awfully dated. It was on television down Sky. So I thought I'd watch it and have it on the background. And I was like, bloody hell, this hasn't aged well. Yeah. Pennywise is cool. Tim Curry as Pennywise is cool. But I like this new iteration of Pennywise and Bill Skarsgård and what he brings.
Yeah, me too.
But if anyone's looking for a stunt double or a face double for Pennywise, that's a clown.
Look, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Hit me up. I've got the appropriate size forehead for the job.
Don't say that. I've got to take a cut though, because if any casting directors are here, I'll take 10%. There's no denial there, so I'll take 20. By the time this show's gone out, it would have been Halloween, so everybody would be pumpkined out and trick or treating out. Have you got any plans for Halloween?
No, I don't. I'm the sad stay at home and don't do anything type. Usually it's stay at home and watch Halloween on
Which
Halloween.
Is much more fun, to be honest. I sound like an old git now, but it's too cold out there. It's a lot of effort. I'd rather just sit in, put a candle on, and watch some horror films.
It is a lot of effort to go out and do stuff in it, you know?
Yeah.
Why?
Exactly. You can stay in the warm, and all you've got to do is go online and look, there's other people dressed up. I feel like I'm out now. Back to the film.
I'll live vicariously through the Halloween.
Exactly.
Pictures.
I'll disperse my soul into the air for the evening whilst I watch Trick or Treat or whatever it is I'm going to watch.
Yep.
If you haven't seen Trick or Treat, anybody, check it out. It's such an awesome Halloween film.
Yeah, it is.
I'm glad you've seen it. Good.
Yeah, no, I do. I do enjoy it. I've seen it a few times.
It's one of those films I love because it is a Halloween film. It's not... You can put it on a Halloween and actually feel like you're watching a Halloween film. Whereas you can put on something like, I don't know, any other horror film.
Yeah,
even if it's set at Halloween, it
doesn't
always feel like Halloween. But that is just like diving straight into the season.
Definitely, I agree.
We know that you like Ray. You look a bit like Daisy Risley. You pull off a perfect Pennywise. But if they were going to make a story, what would they call your film? I'm not going to say The Meg because it's already been done. But The Life and Times of Meg Williams. Who's playing you in that film? Who is starring as you?
Jeez.
I'm not sure Jesus is available.
God, that is such a tough question.
Exactly. Do you go by looks or do you go by someone's attitude and behaviours, or do you just go for anyone random? Do you go for a guy?
I don't know. I genuinely, anyone can hit me up with suggestions because I genuinely can't think of like one specific person, but definitely someone who's able to pull off that sarcastic sort of sense of humour, but also with a small amount of social awkwardness and cynicism as well. Just nice little mix there.
Nice little mix of everything there. I'm racking my brains now to think who could do the
cynicism,
the sarcasm, and the niceness as well. The other Mila Kunis, I don't know. Daisy Ridley.
You know, that would be That would be fitting, wouldn't it?
It would be. I mean, she's Daisy Ridley. Sorry, just seems very nice, doesn't she? She seems too.
Yeah, she
well,
does.
Then again, she does. She is also. If you watch any interviews with her, she does also swear a lot as well. So she's and she likes to get hammered. So she maybe
nice one. Yeah.
So Daisy Ridley or anyone else, if they can come up with some suggestions, hit us up. I'm trying to think in my head, Kate McKinnon. I'm trying to think anybody in my head who's a female now.
I don't. It's hard, isn't it? Because especially with like when you think of yourself. You, and you're trying to think of someone for yourself, you think, oh, no, they're too... Like, you know what I mean? You'd hold yourself at a different level, so it's hard to...
It'd be easy for me to say, well, Ryan Gosling would jump at the chance to play me. But I think people would be like, it doesn't really share many, like, facial similarities. But I don't know why I'd have it. I'd have Martin Freeman, because I used to have... I still have his hair, kind of, and I used to look a bit like him like, 10 years ago. And
that's a pretty good choice. Yeah.
So definitely. We'll go Daisy Ridley for Meg, unless anybody has any. And no, the Meg doesn't count. So we're gonna. So we go for no, Daisy Ridley, unless anyone has any better ones.
A giant shark doesn't count.
But I suppose a giant shark could be cynical. It could have a playfulness to it. You know, it's got to play with you before it eats you, and it's vicious.
I don't know how I'm feeling about a comparison to a shark. I don't know how a person's meant to feel about that.
Yeah, well, you said that you don't look like a shark, let's put it like that. But yeah, that's yeah, that's a deep dive. We will find one, and we will make sure. But at the minute, it's Daisy Ridley. You do share some similarities of Daisy Ridley, and in that Ray costume, it's you look an awful lot like her.
This is the biggest compliment I had ever asked for, I think.
Daisy Ridley is da bomb, if you will. So for want of a better phrase, she's awesome.
Yeah.
So, again, cosplayers, if anyone out there is listening and they want to get into cosplaying, or maybe they're a bit nervous, a bit shy, or they just don't know where to start, would you have any sort of words for them or any advice to get them going?
Oh, I mean, if you're someone who's maybe you want to do something, but you're not sure, I think there's a lot of different factors, but the main one being, I think it's definitely best to pick something from something that you really, really love, but then also to think about picking a cosplay that like plays to your strengths, so like mm-hmm. picking something where you fit it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like rather than me picking like Thor or something, do you know what I mean? Like I don't know, just you have to try and think of something that I guess you wear, like, so in my case it was like, oh okay, I've got brown eyes, I've got brown hair, so I don't have to use a wig, that's great. Stuff like that I think can make it a lot simpler.
Be yourself whilst being somebody else without changing too much, if you will.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be. I'm trying to think. So it's a good point. I mean, I'd love to. Then again, I could do Han Solo. I've got the same colour hair, and he's a couple of inches taller than me, Han Solo, Harrison Ford. But I could do that. But I don't think I'd be very good at. Oh God, Yoda, for example, because I'm not green and I'm not tiny. But
yeah. So yeah.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be very good at Thor either, because let's face it, the guy's built and I'm not. But so no, that's fair enough. So because I know a lot of people, I mean, like myself, when it comes to fancy dress parties, I think, oh no, I don't know why I've suddenly become very insular when it comes to fancy dress. But so if I was to ask you, Meg, how do you do it? How do you go out of the house, you know, all dressed up, looking with all that effort? Where's it coming from? What gives you the you know, what gives you the nerve or the drive to do it? Because for me, I'd be quite scared. Or quite not scared, it's not the word, but timid, I guess.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think one part is the excitement of, like, showing off, in a sense, what you've done or what you've managed to make. Because it's nice to have other people see what you've done and and say, oh, you did a good job on that. So I think a part of it is, like, showing off your hard work, because you put a lot of effort into it. As well, I think you have not got to worry about what people who don't know you will think, but more the people who are into the same stuff as you are going to think, because they're going to see you and think, wow, they're really cool, I want a picture with them. So I think you've definitely got to be doing it for those people.
Awesome. So how do you, I guess on that, how do people come up to you first and ask for a photograph?
Yeah.
How do you take
that?
Quite
a lot. I would take that as a compliment. That nice. Okay. It should be, yeah. I think anyone to feel like that is nice, because it's like they think that my cosplay is that good that they want a picture of it. It's like, it's a nice feeling that you put that work in and other people are enjoying it as well.
Awesome. So, mate, because I know they have also got certain rules about photographs, but I felt nervous asking for photographs when I went to Celebration, even with Stormtroopers. I couldn't see their face, just in case they turned and said, no, go away.
You definitely shouldn't, because I can guarantee that they all were liking it, that you're asking for pictures.
Next time Celebration rolls into London, or I'm there and I'm going to take a picture of everybody possible.
Every single person, even the people that aren't dressed up.
Yeah, some old bloke buying a hot dog. Hello, mate, come here.
Yeah.
I'm not even here for the Celebration. Don't worry about that. It's when you're in the toilets, that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah, that's where you draw the line.
Yeah, when you get to the toilet, you stop taking photographs. That's just a good life lesson as well.
For anyone in any situation.
Exactly, unless you're those kind of guys and girls who take pictures in the toilet at nightclubs and pubs. And keep on keeping on. But for me, I don't like getting my camera out where there is genitals.
No.
Did I say that out loud? Whoops.
Yeah.
Moving swiftly on from genitals.
I wanted to
get pictures of people, but I thought, I don't want to see that guy who's going up to everyone. I can have a picture of you, or I don't want people to think I was weird or anything like that. And I don't know if that's silly to say.
No, I can understand. I mean, like, even me myself, when I'm there, it's like you worry that you're being an inconvenience, or you're getting in someone's way asking for a picture. But I can definitely, saying, like, speaking from the perspective as someone who has been a cosplayer and had people asking me, it is such a nice feeling. So you shouldn't feel nervous about it, because it's like giving them a big compliment, really.
Cool. Have you ever seen any of these people's pictures? Have you ever gone online and seen, you've been tagged in somebody you don't know who they are, but, or you've just seen on like a photo gallery, you're on there with other people. Have you ever stumbled across that?
You know, I haven't at the moment. You never know. There might be, because I am part of like the London Film at Comic Con. There's a few like unofficial forums and things. Mm-hmm. So like, but I like to be on those just to see everyone getting excited and stuff. But no, I haven't had that yet. So
out
we'll
there
see.
Somewhere, it's just loads of pictures of you
there,
on people's Instagrams. You haven't, you don't know.
Me. Yeah, somewhere there are pictures of me on awesome. Other people's phones.
in a flattering way, and that's. That's awesome. And I guess when you mention the forums as well, it's that fan interaction which makes the whole thing so much more fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you meet up when you get there, or is it just go there, go along with yourself or your friends and just see what happens? Or
yeah, so most of the time it's just that. There were also a few people that I didn't really like intentionally plan to meet up with them, but there were like just some Star Wars cosplayers. So we were like, yeah, we'll have a picture if we see each other.
Yeah.
It was that kind of thing, but nothing like official.
Oh, cool. But still, it's nice to bump into people when you're there, I bet. But
I
didn't go to any of the cons this year. Do you go to as many as you can, or is it just as and when? Or?
Yeah, it's really just a case of, I mean, I've been to MCM Expo in London. I used to go there pretty, because they have, how many do they have? Do they have two a year? As well,
I used to
go to both of them every year, and I think that was for about 4 years on the trot, and then I stopped going for a little while, and then so now I'm just kind of like, if the guests are cool and I've got some money, I want to buy some good stuff, then yeah. But no, I'm not someone that goes like to every single con out there.
So you're not saving up your pennies in your penny pot to go to the San Diego Comic Con or any of the big ones over there?
Oh, I mean, trust me, I would. But if I was saving my pennies, it would take me a long time.
Well, that's right, it's guys. If you go to the restaurant, tip. I'd like to go to one of those ones, because you know that the Americans just do everything big.
So big, yeah. I think that'd be a bit surreal, wouldn't it? Because we're just not used to that scale. I don't think we could even begin to imagine how huge it is.
Going over there, all yeah. overawed by these Americans' bigness.
Yeah. And they have like just the most, like the biggest guests that you can imagine as well.
Yeah, when I went to Celebration, it was 2016. It was the year Rogue One came out. Yeah. It was a bit, the floor was ace, and the panels were okay if you could get into them. It was the year that Grand Admiral Thrawn, for those who know Star Wars, he's the blue dude. He was announced to be coming on to Star Wars Rebels, the animated show, very good animated show. But that was kind of like the big reveal. And a lot of people, like the commentators who went, so the pundits and the bloggers and the YouTubers, were a bit disappointed because he didn't really get anything out of it. Mm. And then the next year, when they went to back to the United States, it was like massive. You had every, they threw everything they could at it. And I think the one in 2019 is going to be even bigger. But what we had over here, it was okay, but I left thinking I wanted more. I thought they could have done more. And then can't obviously seeing them go back to the States and have put on this massive show, it was a bit like, oh, thanks, Lucas. Thanks, Disney.
Yeah.
We only filmed the films here. But I mustn't complain, because it was a very good day out. Went to my dad, my brother and my uncle, four guys who all look the same, all going to Star Wars, and it's good fun.
Oh, I was just going to say, you're all cosplaying as each other.
Yeah. if anyone knows what we look like, that's quite true. If we could just put on the same clothes next time, that would be incredible. I'm going to, when I get off, to break the fourth wall, when I get off this pod, I'm going to text my brother, my uncle and my father that exact quote that we should do that. So thank you, Mad Movie Meg.
That's all right. I'd like to see the photo evidence if that does happen.
Yep, deal. We'll all make sure we dress up and wear like the most like nerdy looking clothes possible.
Good.
I'm so pleased about that. Now that's made my night. So, okay. So if you're a cosplayer out there, stick to something that makes you feel comfortable, and stick to something you know as well. It's something which you can feel comfortable in your skin and somebody else's skin. So that makes perfect sense. And again, links coming. But if you see Meg in her Rey cosplay, it suits, if you know what I mean. You've mentioned the physical appearance of yourself in the costume. It just looks right. Do you know what I mean? So that's one where I can imagine you can walk out the house, walk into the cons and just think, come at me. I look, you know, I am Ray. So be yourself out there, guys. Confidence. But we're going to go on to a new segment of the show. So all of the other 25 variations of this particular show, we've never done this before. But I thought, let's just spring it on Meg, because why not? Because that's what kind of guy I am.
Let's go.
It's called Movie Jewels. And essentially what it's going to be me is for about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, I'm going to throw out movie jewels to Meg. Movie A or movie B? Which one do you like? It's going to be quick fire, and let's see how many we agree or disagree with. So,
okay.
Megan, are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. So, Jurassic Park or Jaws?
Jurassic Park.
The Exorcist or Halloween?
Halloween.
The Conjuring or The Conjuring 2?
The Conjuring 2? Yeah.
Marvel or DC?
Ooh. I think I'm going to have to go with DC.
The Godfather or The Shawshank Redemption?
Shawshank?
The Shining or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
The Shining.
Dumb and Dumber or The Mask?
Dumb and Dumber.
The Force Awakens or The Last Jedi?
Force Awakens.
The Room or Slender Man?
I don't. How do you pick between The Room?
Alien, the first one, or 2001: A Space Odyssey?
Alien.
Avengers: Infinity War or The Dark Knight?
Dark Knight.
Love Actually or 10 Things I Hate About You?
Love Actually.
Gladiator or Saving Private Ryan?
Gladiator.
Anchorman or Step Brothers?
Anchorman? Yeah.
Transformers or The Emoji Movie?
Oh, Transformers.
That's a tough one. La La Land or Moonlight?
La La Land.
Princess Leia or Rey?
Oh, Princess Leia.
One more. Halloween or Halloween 2018?
Halloween, the original.
Halloween wins everything for you. So, I've got to say, the Halloween over The Exorcist could be a cause of contention on this podcast.
Oh, no. Why?
Because The Exorcist is my favourite film of all time. So,
oh.
Let's just cut this off now, shall we? The Conjuring 2 over The Conjuring as well. I wasn't a massive fan of The Conjuring 2. I love The Conjuring. It's one of my top five horror films of all time.
I don't know. I think they're kind of like similar for me, but like in terms of how much I like both of them, so...
Yeah, it was fair enough. Avengers Infinity War and The Dark Knight was an interesting one. The Dark Knight is what would win it for me as well.
Yeah, love that.
Transformers and Emoji Movie was just pretty much there just to test your patience. And I know that you're a Star Wars fan, so I had to put in the sequel trilogy battle of The Force Awakens and Last Jedi. I was interested to ask you that question anyway, because I had to wrestle with myself for that one, but I also just about plump on the side of The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
It just felt a bit more, I don't want to say like Star Wars, because that's a right gimpish thing to say, but I don't know,
you mean, yeah.
But I liked where The Last Jedi went. I was extremely satisfied coming out of that. But The Force Awakens had that, it had the humour that worked. It had Han Solo, obviously had the introduction to the characters. You got Luke and Leia, not together, but they're on screen. Han Solo's on at the same time. You meet Kylo. Hux wasn't quite so much of a gimp in that film. Everything, you know what I mean? It's such a great, and you get that lightsaber duel in the snow.
Oh, yes.
With you versus Kylo Ren. But The Last Jedi, I loved The Last Jedi. I didn't really like the humour in it, but I loved The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I did as well. But I think, the Force Awakens probably just has that edge because there's that magic of it being the start of a new trilogy, and it's just that excitement of where it's going
to
go.
Oh, yeah, I could talk for about an hour about the build-up to that film, because I remember, I just remember the massive mental hype about that film, like a year, it started when it was announced, but just before that first trailer was released, the first teaser, it started to build and creep up with people coming out with these insane theories. Some are good, some are terrible, but, and then obviously that teaser came out, and then it started to get a bit more, and then, you know, these leaks started coming out, which I never tried to see. I never want to hear a spoiler or a leak, and people talk about that, and it just became this massive, massive thing, and it's the best experience I've had. It's the most surreal experience I've ever had in the cinema. The best experience I've ever had was that Vader scene we mentioned in Rogue One. And for long-time listeners, people know I like more than Star Wars. I love film in general, but I do have a special place for Star Wars. That Vader scene was the greatest moment for me in a cinema of anything.
Jeez. I mean, that is a big... I completely get where you're coming from. I love it. I think as much as you enjoy the whole film, you know you're getting close to that scene when you're watching it.
Exactly.
It's brilliant.
I'd hoped it was, because again, I didn't know it was coming. I'd seen some of the critic reactions saying, this is a good, great film, blah, blah. The last 15 minutes will blow your head off, and the last 10 minutes will just have you squealing, I think Kevin Smith said. But I didn't know that scene was going to be in it, but this is going to sound like a right nerdy thing, but I dreamt it. I'd wanted it. I had in my head an image of like Darth going mental on the actual Rogue One crew. But that scene, the way they framed it was just perfect. The way the noise of the door going up, the breath in the dark hall, and then he gets lit up by that saber. I'm getting so excited thinking about it.
The way they're all like running away and screaming.
Open fire! God.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
I would have just run away, let alone open fire. So there's some interesting answers there, and none that I disagree with, because it's all subjective. But that is that for this episode of the What I Watch Tonight show. So firstly, thank you so much for coming on and giving your time tonight, Meg.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Where can the world find you on the interweb?
So on Instagram, I'm Mad Movie Meg. On my YouTube, I'm also called Mad Movie Meg. And then I've got an art account that's called Deathly Designs.
Obviously check out all of it. Check out Deathly Designs on Instagram for those art pieces I was talking about. It's a wicked one of Michael Myers just been done.
Thank you.
Very good. And going back through it, there's so many good ones. And when you guys see it, you'll know what I mean. It's not just me blowing smoke. And yeah, follow Mad Movie Meg.
Thank you.
And there's a blog and there's YouTube, which I know you're going to start your YouTube channel up again. You're going to start putting more on there, I believe.
Yeah, it kind of went a bit dead for a while because of exam time and everything. So now I'm sort of done and moving on to the next chapter of my life. I've got time for that stuff again. So I'll definitely get back into that.
I look forward to seeing what's coming next then, and I shall watch your career with great interest, as Palpatine said in The Phantom Menace. So check out all that good stuff. Just see some ace cosplaying, great movie photos, and of course, movie opinions as well. So once again, thank you so much for coming on tonight, Meg.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. You can catch all of the episodes on our website, which is whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, where you'll get this episode and all the others that come before and afterwards. If you like it, leave a rating and a review as well. It helps the show out immensely. Anywhere you can get podcasts, and I mean anywhere, we are on there. We're even going on to YouTube now very slowly, but yeah, we're everywhere. So if you like what you hear, share the episodes and tell the world. If you don't, don't tell anyone. Doesn't help anyone. So keep quiet about that. And of course, don't forget to tell your nans about the show. But until next time, thank you and see ya.
Boogie.